Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnt out and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content that we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today. To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Self an expert in this space.
I got my Chrome credit to 750.
People are attracted to you because they want what you have.
Connection to the right banks that we know specifically give higher limits.
It could be very borderline scammy.
I'm still in the trenches every day.
How do you experience this shift?
There's a lot of credit unions out here that people don't know about.
Recently overcame some losses.
It started going downhill so fast.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency, where I sit down and have transparent conversations with entrepreneurs who are doing outstanding things. And I have an entrepreneur sitting here with me today that you guys have seen before, but I needed to follow up with this guest because he's had some incredible life changes and he's had some incredible changes and some ebbs and flows in his journey as well. So I want to reintroduce you guys to Smitty the GOAT. Smitty, what's good?
What's up, Donnie? How you feeling today?
I am outstanding. Yeah. I am actually doing good. You look, you shining, you glowing. You look like life is great right now.
Yeah, it's been going in a good direction.
It's going in a good direction.
Yeah, it's going in a good direction.
Yeah. Sure. So let's remind everybody what you do. You have a funding agency,
mm-hmm.
and you help small business owners get funding for their business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really help small business owners get funding? Because everybody says it, Smitty. Yeah. Everybody got the play, get this credit card, mm-hmm. get this thing, get this whatever. Are you really helping small business owners get money for their business?
Yeah. So there is a lot of people starting to get into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them came under just a few people at the top of the totem pole when it comes to credit. So they all building their platforms. But yeah, we've been having a consistent, great job of being able to get people capital for their business. Over six figures for everybody that come through our process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as many people that I would say that are consistently doing it at that rate. You know, I don't know anybody back end, but ours is doing pretty well. Most of the 90% of the time, mm-hmm. getting people over six figures.
So people are really confused about what getting funding for your business actually means.
Mm-hmm.
So can you walk us through what that actually means?
Yeah. So my strategy, I don't know everybody else's, but my strategy is to leverage business credit cards, because most clients that we come across don't have documentation. So they don't have the 2-year tax returns. They don't mm-hmm. got the bank statement. They don't got the full income enough to be able to just sustain to get funded on their own besides, you know, being able to just get credit cards. So the first layer of funding that I get my people is business credit cards at 0% interest, 12 to 18 months. So I stack those up to be able to get large amounts of limit with no documentation as the first round of funding for our clients.
Okay. So you said what you help them do. So I'm imagining there's a process. Like, are you taking in people who have like terrible credit, or they just don't know how to access this or what cards are available? Right. Like,
so I don't do credit repair. So I'm not a credit repair specialist. I own a funding agency, like you said. So it's a done for you service. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to people who already meet the criteria on your personal credit report and already have a business created at least. Mm-hmm. Don't matter how old it's been. It could be open one day old. It doesn't matter. But as long as you meet the requirements on the personal credit side,
mm-hmm.
and along with having your LLC put together, then you come to me and I do a done for you service. You don't have to do anything. We do handle everything for you and we get it all done for you.
That means that you're handling like the application processes, mm-hmm. and you pretty much have a good idea based on somebody's profile, what they could get approved for.
100%.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So walk me through it. What do I have to do to be set up to get some business? I have business credit cards, mm-hmm. but I just apply it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
So I got good credit. Yeah.
So that's just the old-fashioned way where everybody go online, just apply like the masses, which mm-hmm. our process is going to be way different. Mm-hmm. I have built strong relationships with people inside of the bank. So I have partnerships with relationship managers inside of banks at a high level that handles underwriting and application processes for us. So you come to me to get it done for you process, but we're not going online to apply for applications for you. We're putting you in tune with somebody in the bank that handles the underwriting process to go directly for the two through them. And what we do is we request our limits. We don't get approved for limits. It's a big difference. So when people have seen me on the internet be able to get somebody approved for $50,000, $75,000, or $80,000 with one credit card, mm-hmm. their eyes kind of light up to be like, okay, how is he being able to get somebody a $50,000, $75,000 limit on one credit card? It's a different process. So my banking relationship managers allows us to push through his portal, mm-hmm. and it's only DocuSign. So I don't got to go in the bank. You don't got to go in the bank. We don't apply online. We DocuSign application, our applications, and we put a special note on our application as well to why we need the money. Big, big difference than what other people are doing. Once again, big difference. We put a special note of why we need the money. So the bank is more likely to lend us a higher amount of money versus just application online, instant approval. They don't even know what you need the money for. They're just going off your personal credit is pretty good. Let's see what we can be able to give them based upon this and your income that you stated.
Now I see the benefit because I'm like, why would I need a funding specialist if my credit is good? I meet the criteria. I'll just go and apply online, which is typically what I do, right? Mm-hmm. When I need funding. Yeah. But the online process, from what I'm hearing you say, is probably a bot or some type of AI that just matches what you put on the application to what their criteria is, and bam, here you are, general funding. But your process gets to the actual underwriter. So your applicants are screened by a person who can look at it with their eyeballs and make certain exceptions for you.
And then another bonus that we have that other people don't have too is connection to the right banks too, that we know specifically give higher limits than normal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of credit unions out here that people don't know about in different states mm-hmm. that we found give high limits out the gate. Mm-hmm. So when we got certain banks that's giving us $40,000 credit cards and $35,000 credit cards, you wouldn't even know to go to that bank because you never heard of it. You're not in that state. You don't even know that you're supposed to go to this bank because you just know about Chase and Bank of America.
Give me one. Yeah. I know there's one like something in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, those are some of the good ones. So like Key Bank and Truist is the one that people love in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
PSECU, Key Point Federal Credit Union. Mm-hmm. Citizens Bank has been giving us a big amount of money for our clients.
And these are banks that you're giving like, they just got their sauce from the episode right now. They can literally stop watching right now, go apply and get it done.
Some people can do that, but also they don't have the relationships I have. So once again, you don't have those relationships. So you could probably get an approval and these are the right banks to go to and you might get some nice limits. They might not be the same as ours that we can get you approved for, but you still can go do it. You're still going to be good. So what we leverage is foreign entity filings. So a lot of people can't get these banks out of state either, which is another process people don't know how to do, don't know how to set up, don't know that you need them. So we file what's called a foreign entity filing in different states so that we can get you a business address and file foreign your entity in that state. So now we can get you funded in different states at those different banks, and we can do that for you as well. So now you're accumulating a larger amount of money too, because now we know how to extend your LLC to all 50 states that we want to get you extended to be the 5X what amount of funding you would have got on your own or with, or with somebody else.
Listen, where's the application? Am I approved or not? Right. And that's literally why people miss out on so much, because it's like, where do I sign? Just run me my coins or tell me I got to come back and do something different. How do you, are you an, do you consider yourself an expert in this space?
Yes, 100,000,000%.
How do you like, how do you get started and say, you know what? I'm going to become an expert level funding authority in this space. Like what started this for you?
Yeah, it was just my desire to just go deeper into the industry more than I seen at first. So we started in RPX with 500, of course. But then I wanted to go like just deeper. So I just wanted to learn the banking system, how it works.
Don't slide over that. You started in Recession Proof with Marcus with HIM 500. Yeah. What were you doing though that made you say, you know what, I need to get some coaching?
Oh, before that?
Uh-huh.
So My friend got into it with RPX first. So my friend Lamont. Lamont is in real estate, my brother. But he started first. So like I was blowing him off at first. He was like, all right, bro, I'm finna get into this stuff. I'm gonna be learning about business, I'm learning about credit, I'm learning about real estate, I'm gonna get these properties, bro. And he kind of like disappeared from us for a while.
Mm-hmm. But so, what were you doing? What was your life? What was your job?
I was
business?
I was like working at a clothing store. I like the fly stuff, so shoes and clothes and stuff like that.
You working in the mall, Smitty?
Nah, not the mall, but like a little side, like a little side, little fancy little spot that was selling clothes. Like I was getting the Jordans and stuff for people and stuff like that.
I see you were the plug.
Yeah, yeah, okay. A little bit. I was trying to get to that point where I was the main plug, but I was working with somebody who was, you know, had a store and stuff like that. So I was just trying, and I was working little jobs here and there, but no longer than 2 weeks have I worked a job. I walked out of all my jobs, man.
I'm gonna flip all this stuff over.
I got out of there. That wasn't my, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So I was trying to figure stuff out. I had dropped out of college and then I came home. I'm just trying to figure stuff out. I was really trying to go in and out of jobs. I was doing like iPhone flipping a little bit. I was doing some shoes and stuff like that and clothes.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
You're 30. What is it about? That's Gen Z?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's Gen Z. Is it? That's Gen Z, I believe.
50-50.
Gen Z or what? Millennial? You're not a millennial. No. So what is it about this generation where you guys feel like I'm not working a job?
Yeah. It's literally like trying to do it. And then it's like my knee hurt after 6 hours on day one. I can't. You telling me y'all did this for 6 years? I can't.
Six years is wild. Try 40.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. I couldn't even imagine that. That's really blew my mind, is how somebody could do that. But bro, my knees hurt. I'm tired. I can't stand up for 8 hours every day. I literally can't. I can't do this.
You telling me you went into somebody's workplace.
Yes.
You need to make a living. You go in and you like, yo, I feel a sensation in my knee right now. I'm going to have to resign.
Because I literally can't keep doing this every day. And I'm furious coming in here. I'm furious. I'm waking up, hitting the alarm clock and throwing it off the bed every day because I got to get it on time.
Yo, no lie. There have been a couple of jobs when that alarm clock went off. I looked at it like, I guess I quit today because I'm sleepy in a mug. I'm not.
Yes,
it's
bro.
Not going to happen today. Mm-mm. But y'all literally like in this generation, it's like nobody wants to work.
Hey, man.
And then when you're like in positions like us, I'm sure you need to hire staff.
Yeah.
When I need to hire staff, everybody who, I won't say everybody, but maybe 90% plus of the applications that I receive are from people who have created some kind of agency. Mm. I need an assistant, and it's somebody who has an executive assistant agency. Mm. I need an operations person. It's somebody who serves operators, serves companies through their operations agency. Look, who want to be on, who wants a W-2?
Yeah, but the not the good thing, but the other side to it is a lot of people not ready for entrepreneurship and can't do entrepreneurship. That I've learned over time after coaching 5,000 people.
Yeah.
People not ready for this stuff and can't do this stuff and they're not built for this stuff.
Yes.
So they have to resort into the other.
That's my concern. Everybody thinks that they can be a boss. No. I think people see you in the Lamborghini and they see the Cubans and they see the lifestyle and all these things, and they see what they see is that it looks easy, right? But there's actually a business being run behind all of these private jets that you're flying on and all of that stuff. And I want to get back to how you got started in this journey. But while we're here, what do you say that your kind of balance is between not necessarily work-life balance, but you show a lot of lifestyle and people are attracted to you because they want what you have. They want to live a life like you. But I think that there's also there's some responsibility that we have to show what it's actually like to build the business. What's your balance? Like, how much time do you actually spend working in your business, like building it from strategy?
Yeah, so every day. Mm-hmm. I know some business owners, when they start reaching 7 figures, trying to delegate out so much. I have delegated out a little bit, but I'm still in the trenches every day. And I'm here every day checking out things, doing things, even doing it myself if I have to. So I'm not super delegated out of my business. I'm working in my business every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I'm doing something. And with the lifestyle stuff, I literally just have the camera out to film my real life of what I'm doing. So people do tend to it and like it. But when I create content, it's about giving the breakdowns of what I'm doing in my business. So my content is super just informational and just value. And it's just like what I'm doing every day. And if some people catch it, some people don't. I give away a lot of good game on the internet, but it's hard to implement, you know, just by just words. You're going to need some frameworks. You're going to need some strategy. You're going to need some consulting. So I try to give as much value as I can on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, but I can't give everything in 30, 45 second clips.
Yeah. So. And you also spend time in personal development.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that like?
That's all I do when I'm not working in the business or on the business. I'm learning.
This is Smitty. Listen, you have to be loud about this stuff.
Yeah.
People who are 30 years old in their 20s, they think business is going on Shopify, getting a site, going on Amazon, selling, you know, flipping products on Amazon. And they think that's it. You sell a product, you make the money. You sell a product, you make the money. But you got to become something when you're trying to operate at a high level and when you are operating at a high level. So when you talk about like personal development, what are some of the things that you do that's improving you, which ultimately improves you as a business owner?
Yeah. So it don't matter how much money I make or how much money I make this month or this week, I still find myself learning. Mm-hmm. So it's small things and big things. I'm investing into higher tier programs. I'm watching YouTube. Watching old courses and classes that I bought before that I had that I didn't get to, you know, implement yet.
Yeah.
And I'm just educating myself daily and weekly. I could have $500,000 a month and the next day I'll be in here learning because it's a piece in my business that's not all the way put together yet. It's a piece in my process that I haven't got fine tuned enough yet that it can be better. I found that to work for me this far, so I'm not going to stop doing it now. You know what I mean? Just because I got some success, I had that adamant in my heart to be just like, I have to keep continuing to grow and learn and be able to keep on this momentum. I don't want my momentum to stop.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to doing that's working, but also work on what's working.
So your first experience with like coaching and mentorship was Marcus's program.
Yeah.
So you're selling clothes, you flipping sneakers, you flipping iPhones, you the plug. You go from that, you get into this program, and then what happens? How do you experience this shift?
Yeah, so a little bit right before the program, it was my friend that helped me, so Lamont. He helped me. He had the information first, helped me with my own credit. And I got so infatuated with him getting approved for $40,000 in one day. I could not save up $40,000, $50,000 for 2-3 years in my possession. You mean to tell me you got approved for $40,000, $50,000 in one day? It blew my mind. So now my mind is trickling. I'm like, I had to do a lock-in season for like 6 to 8 months. That's when I got in. So I had the information from RPX a little bit through him, but I had to get in for the network and the community and to just start building relationships. You know what I mean? So I got in there and then I just went to work. Like I put my head down. It was tunnel vision, and I just did like what's called like my 6 to 8 month lock-in season where I'm not going outside, I'm not spending no money, I'm not going on vacation. I don't want no females don't call me, family and friends. You better not be calling me about nothing else besides business or investing either. And like everybody is just, you know, just on standby right now. I'm tunnel vision in. And man, I just started seeing other results. I started just hearing the process of how 500 got to where he got to. Then I started getting introduced to a lot of different people with inside the community who were executing at a high level. And then now my brain just exploded to be open of just all the exposure, what could be, what could happen. People that look like me is in here doing these X amount of results for their life. I could be able to do it. So now it's just super dialed in on just learning and trying to master this craft. And starting to get an experience. So I started getting my own credit together. I got my own credit to 750, and then now I got my own credit card, and then now I started my first business was I purchased a vending machine and an ATM machine business. So I'm like, all right, I got the credit stuff down, packed, I know how to clean it, I know how to build it. I got to start some type of business to make me some money. The first thing everybody wanted to do was to get a vending machine.
Sure.
But then I got an ATM machine too, so I had started those things, and it was like I caught a wind of the internet, like gravitating towards me doing, being able to do that, because so many people say they want to do it and don't know how or what to do. I literally watched a YouTube video to learn how to start an ATM machine business. Went to go buy it the next week. It was crazy. So I started that. Then I transitioned to just doing credit repair for other people. Once other people seen that I had a 700 credit score, because mm-hmm. I'm from Chicago, so 98% of them don't know nothing about credit. Okay. Don't know nothing about how to clean it. Don't know nothing about how to build it. Barely know how to look at it. So now I became the face of knowing how and what to do. So people started coming to me to be able to help them clean their credit. So I started my credit repair business after that. And then that's when I started making my, you know, first six figures.
You said something so important about your first experience in any type of like mentorship community. I think sometimes so many people, I was having a conversation with a friend last night and he asked me what I thought about this coaching space, right? Course creator space, coaching space. And he was asking me, was I bothered by some people who just create these programs, put them out there, and they really don't know what they're talking about. It could be very borderline scammy, right? And I told him that I really don't get engaged with that part of the conversation anymore. I used to have a lot of opinions, but what I know is, yes, there are some creators, many creators, in fact, way too many creators who put information out here that isn't well put together. They don't have the experience to really do it. But I also know from being a person now who's been building community for the last 12 years, there are so many people who don't know how to take advantage of being in a community. Mm. There are so many people who sign up and join these mentorship programs and community, and they're literally hanging on the coattail of the person. So of the Donnie Wiggins, of the Smitties, of the Hem 500s, they're hanging on those coattails waiting for us to say that one thing that's going to change their lives, when there's so many other benefits and functions of being a part of the community. And you said it when you talked about, when I asked you about your experience, you didn't really say one thing that Five said to you that was the game change. What you said was, I learned from my friend who was in the community. He was sharing some stuff with me on the side. But when I got in the community and I started to witness the other people who were in the community having these results, that put a battery pack in my back. You said when I started to meet other people and build these relationships with the other community members, that's what really turned me up and got me going. And that's an overlooked, I believe, and a highly overlooked part of being in a community that people just don't take enough advantage of.
Damn, that's good. That is good, because that's so true. And then the relationships that I've built in that community have been the people I've been closer with, because we're on the same mindset level, and yeah. We have did partnerships now, mm-hmm. which we have made multiple seven figures with mm-hmm. the people that I've connected with in the community. And but of course, 500 set the foundation of, you know, what you can build off of. But mm-hmm. that's definitely was a big part of it for me that I grasped to the fastest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think but it was like 6,000 people in there with us. So I had to like figure out how I'm about to grow like to the top of this thing. And yeah. then one loophole where I seen people wasn't taking advantage of was the marketing side. Everybody kept doing the things you're saying to do, but then everybody just kept thinking that they got this group of information that was good, that it was just, that was it. Like, all right, I can build something off what I learned, and then let me just go build off of that. My mindset was, well, if I just learned this and been able to create a six-figure business off one program, mm-hmm. imagine what I could do if I go invest into learning this skill set, this skill set, this skill set. Mm. The next skill set I learned was marketing. I got fascinated with that. I'm like, all right, I got 2,000 people in front of me. Everybody else got these big followings. Like, how am I about to be able to get all these clients?
Yeah, 2,000 people on Instagram.
Yeah, like 2,000 or 3,000 people on Instagram at first. Mm. Yeah, and I'm like, all right, everybody got these big old followings for all these leads. How am I gonna get leads for my business since I got?
What year is this?
We in 2024.
What year is this that you have the 2,000 people?
2021.
You got 311,000 followers now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going, because yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah, so I dove deep into the marketing side because I understood that right there, that if I have something to offer now, I need to get in front of more people so more people can see who I am and what I do so they can be able to purchase what I have to offer. And I just seen so many people just stuck on just what was in there and not mm-hmm. Continuing to get educated on different skill levels or these things to do. Mm-hmm. And I just drifted heavily into marketing. And then I did a lock-in season again. So, like, now I'm back locked in, funneling, like, my brain towards just mastering a marketing skill that I understand that can work for me to be able to grow my brand and my business and being able to, you know, get more leads for my business.
What's your favorite marketing strategy? Is it paid ads? Is it organic marketing? Like, what's the marketing strategy that you found works for you?
The marketing strategy that I found is borrowing other people's audiences.
Tell me more. Unpack that.
Yeah. So I'm looking for somebody that got the biggest audience and I don't play small. So I tell people to do this. And they play small with it. They don't do it. They overlook it. I don't know why, but they do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look for the person who got the biggest audience. Mm-hmm. And then when I learned that model, which is leveraging other people's audiences, I went for the gusto the first time I did it. So I'll tell you what I did first to blow up. I think it was Neo Book. It was seven steps to make your Instagram into a money making machine. Mm-hmm. It was only like 10 steps. I did every single step in that book. He told me to create a meme of my story and what I started and what I've been able to do this far. Okay, I just created that. And then he said, you need to put it on the biggest platform that is out here on social media. And the biggest platform that I knew of that I could put together was Shade Room. I'm like, all right, let me do a collaboration with the biggest, you know, page in America almost that all I know, all black people know about in life. So I did a collaboration with them and then I was able to gain 10,000 followers and 3 or 4 days because mm-hmm. they got 27 million people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once it worked the first time too, I just repeated the process. So I just did it in various different ways to be able to leverage other people's audiences or do collaborations with people that got a bigger audience than me.
But how do you, okay, so, and I'm asking, I want the audience to understand, okay. Right? You put a meme, you create a meme of your humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Or like your journey to success, your success point that you have to now.
So give me an example. I don't think I'd find it on your page right now.
Yeah. So I think mine was like, got access to my first $100,000 and then started a business. ATM machine. I did what I did. I put up there what I did. I started an ATM vending machine business. And I said, young black entrepreneur from Chicago. So I put
it's always young black. Young black entrepreneur, but you got from Chicago.
Yeah, so I had to put
that part's important.
That's personal,
right?
You know.
If you had said young black entrepreneur from Beverly Hills, it wouldn't have snapped the same.
Yeah,
so young black entrepreneur from Chicago. Yeah. Made $100,000 or got access to $100,000.
Yeah, with business funding and started this ATM machine and vending machine business.
Okay.
And I had a picture with a Black Lives Matter shirt and I had my ATM, my vending machine next to me.
Got it. Gotta have the Black Lives Matter shirt. Okay. All right. Now I'm seeing where we're going with this. You got it for us, by us, baby.
Yeah.
All right. So you do this and you're getting the followers, but and people can get the followers, yeah. Right? We can tell somebody to go out, do something right now. They may not get 10,000 followers, but maybe they get 250 followers.
Yeah.
But how do you monetize these followers?
Yeah. So I had what I was doing already, which was helping people about credit. So I didn't have all my, I didn't do it perfect either. Like I didn't have all my processes set up. I didn't have automation set up, system set up, none of that stuff. I literally had nothing. I just did it because he said to do it. And he, at this mark already, did it already 10 times. I'm just going to see what he said to do. So I got to fluctuate into a lot of people. I probably didn't handle it the best at first, but I worked through it. I worked with what I could. And I did what I could. And I just got better as time went on. So all these people was coming DM me about credit. I had a little stuff about credit on my page already. I was doing Done For You Credit Repair at the time. And then at that time, I had created a digital product. So I have my digital product in there and I have my Done For You service on credit repair. So now I'm just leading people to that best way I can. I'm creating posts on social media. I'm going live. I got things in the link in my bio and I'm just leading these people to my offer that I have available to them if they want it.
You know how I mean? Many hours out of your day, now that you're getting these followers coming in, are you, because you're not doing paid ads at that time.
At that time.
Outside of paying to get on Shade Room.
Yeah.
But you're not doing paid ads. So most of what you're doing is organic marketing. Okay. So we get the followers. We have an offer that we've created, a digital course or whatever, a physical product. It could be anything. Yeah. How much time now? You're making posts. You're going live. You're doing collaboration lives. How many hours out of your day are you spending doing that so you can monetize this audience?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I was busy. I was busy in my phone all day. I'm just responding to people, trying to send them the links and all this stuff. Hours?
Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnout and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO-friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content that we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today. To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I don't know. It's periodically in and out all day.
All day.
Yeah. I was in and out all day responding to people with that fluctuating of traffic so fast. So,
And that's important to note because, again, I believe that sometimes success is being made to look so easy. You put up a post, you go viral, boom, you make money.
Yeah.
And that does not, I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, there was this young lady with at least 1 million followers. She could have had more. And she's got this cult-like following. People love hearing what she's talking about, like super engaged with her content. And she finally decides to launch a t-shirt line. She launches this t-shirt line and she posts about it, right? Didn't sell one t-shirt. Not one t-shirt. All she does is makes a post. And she believes that based on this following that she's built, you know what I mean? If I drop something, they're going to buy it. She didn't do any time really. She didn't spend any time nurturing relationships. So I'll never forget, me and David actually covered this on an episode of Social Proof a few years back. She drops this t-shirt, makes a post, and thinks the internet is going crazy. And then she comes back after some time and she's, you know, sad. And she's telling people like, hey, don't let the number of followers that a person has fool you into thinking that people are actually making money and monetizing off of this. I launched this t-shirt line and couldn't sell one single, like, $20 t-shirt. So when it comes to, I'm asking these questions strategically because I want the audience to understand, like, there is work involved. You are 30 years old, right? Yeah. And so it could be, and you've been doing this for a few years now, you made your first million in your 20s. And I want people to understand this wasn't the luck of the draw. This wasn't you just put up a post and people just love you so much they're flocking to your website to check out. You did the work. Like, look, y'all, you want to know what it looks like in the beginning? This. Hey, y'all, I'm going to be right back with you. This. Huh, what you say? Nah, she trying to go on a date. He trying to do this. Nah, it ain't that. Dang, hold on. Somebody else commented. Like, this is what the work looks like. Am I lying, Smitty?
Nah, you ain't lying. That's what it was
doing.
This
is what the work looks like. Y'all, I am over here. I have to put a heating pad on my wrist.
Oh, my God.
I got to put a heating pad on my wrist.
It should be automated now, Donnie. It should be automated now.
Well, some things are automated, but I'm still working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's so many things that's automated. I'm the automations queen. I'm the systems queen. Like, I understand the importance of systems in a business, but especially because I still see clients, like, one-on-one, I can't automate authenticity, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So I have systems automated. I have some responses and replies automated. But in my business, I still have to build relationship. And this is not just the internet. This is not just Instagram. Sometimes for me, this is YouTube. Even though I have a team that handles YouTube, I still like to get in there and see what people are saying. And if I'm in there, I'm going to respond. This could be working with my offshore team. You know what the work looks like? The work looks like me waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to be like, let me make sure the team knows what they're doing because my team is offshore. That's what the work looks like. And I want to talk about it because business isn't all bells and whistles for you either. You got some stuff happening. Yeah. You didn't recently overcame some losses.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So my biggest loss today was starting a trucking company. Well, it wasn't that I started a trucking company. It was diversifying myself too many ways too fast, going after the, we got to start 7 different streams of income. So I need to start 7 different businesses.
You mean you were the king of multiple streams of income? You mean to tell me you got to take this money that you make and go ahead and start a whole other business?
That's what I thought that I was supposed to do. I thought I was doing the right thing too. And I was like, all right, man, I'm making money. Cool. But I'm not trying to go back broke. So the ideal thing to do is start different streams of income. And my mindset led towards starting multiple businesses, which I shouldn't have did, but and I did it. So I went deep into trucking. Once again, I do my lock-in season. When I'm mastering something and learning something, I literally lock in for 6 months first before I start diving into it for, you know, experience-wise. So I'm building it and I'm learning it and I'm mastering it like for 6 months. And I started. I do good. I start the trucking company. I get 2 18-wheelers. I get some trucks and some trailers, leveraging my credit. So now I got 2 trucks up and rolling and I got dispatch company on the side of it. I'm thinking that in my mind, I'm about to do $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. Is lit. And it started going downhill so fast. Oh my God. It started going downhill so fast. So I started digging myself in a hole. I kept getting scammed by these people that were fixing my trucks. So that my truck kept breaking down and stuff like that. So the people who are fixing trucks, they kept throwing out these crazy numbers, man, to get my stuff fixed. And I just came in here to fix one thing. And they started naming 8 to 9 other things I need fixed. And then they'll say, like, if you don't fix it, you got potential to break down right away again soon. So in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm about to make this stuff happen. I'm about to make this stuff work. I'm paying the money out. I'm getting it fixed. I'm getting all my permits. I'm getting everything set up. I'm doing everything. I don't care what it takes. I'm about to do it because this just in me to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens. So I'm finding myself steady doing it though. 10,000, 7,000, 12,000, 17,000, 2,000. I'm like, okay, all right, hold on. And my brain kept going to, I'm going to turn it around and start doing $10,000, $15,000 a month. It's going to be okay. I can't give up. I just did all this learning and starting this business. But I kept digging myself into a bigger hole and a bigger hole and a bigger hole and a bigger hole. And then so I just started going the wrong way in trucking. I just didn't do good. But my problem was I was diversifying too much. I'm focusing on my digital marketing and stuff. Yeah. I'm working on social media. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my credit stuff. I'm doing funding stuff. I'm trying to learn. And then I'm learning a new business. So I couldn't put all my focus into it. So it started going downhill. And I lost almost like $300,000 in trucking.
That's crazy. And I want to be clear.
Yeah.
It's not the trucking industry that doesn't work.
No.
You were just doing way too much.
Yes, 100%.
Just doing way too much. And That's a good point to note too, because people will start things and will say, oh no, that didn't work. No, it's not that didn't work.
Yeah.
Either you didn't work, you had too much going on, you couldn't focus on one thing, or you're not prepared to have your hands tackling so many different problems. Yeah. Like you get these trucks and you apparently get trucks that need some work. You didn't realize the work cost that an oil change on an 18-wheeler is very different than an oil change on a Nissan Altima. Okay. Yeah. It's a totally different conversation. So you took a $300,000 loss.
Yeah. With trucking. And then I tried to start Airbnb business. So of course,
right after trucking.
Yeah.
So basically you didn't learn the lesson.
Well, I kind of was in the midst of doing, trying to run these things almost current. Like, so a deal came to me. So this is how this one came.
It's always the deal.
The dumbest thing.
The deal came to me. Somebody came to me with a deal. Yeah. Somebody made a play. They got a play. All right, tell me about it.
It was the dumbest decision. I'm looking at it now. Of course, I can logically say what I think now. But in the gist of it, I was thinking I was going to be able to overturn it. So it was 18 units in Miami, fully furnished Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. So I don't play small. So I grabbed all of them.
Give them all to me. I'm not doing no market research. Give them to me. I don't care.
I tried to do a little bit. I'm like, my mindset was Miami. Airbnb is in a good space right now. People go to Miami, always got to stay. And what I thought his problem was, well, he can't market like me. He can't get, he can't post on social media like me to get people to, like, if you come to Miami, come to my Airbnbs and I'm going to have you help you with a nice experience. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to change the units up. I'm going to make them better. I'm going to make them look better. And my vision was to overturn it to being a good business in Miami with my Airbnbs.
Because there were no other outstanding Airbnbs already in Miami, right? Okay, yeah, all right.
I guess it wasn't in my head. And then why would somebody give me 10 of 18 Airbnbs that's doing so well and just give it to you as a gift?
18 Airbnbs, you know what? Take them. Take them and you go and take advantage of this outstanding opportunity.
And make all the money in the world, right? So it was a bad deal. So I found myself, I paid for them fully furnished, six-figure amount. I put six figures up. I'm like, all right. And I had a person that's going to property manage them, right? Oh, my God. And he convinced me to do it. God.
Because it's so easy.
They got it. You be the investor. Man, I'm going to help the property part.
Look, all you got to do is put six figures. You get all the units, right? Let me, this is how the play happened. Look, I got these units. I can't do nothing with them, but you the marketing goat. You the marketing goat. So you put six figures, you get these units, right? You ain't got to do no work. It's easy. It's simple. It's passive income. Because what you're going to do is you're going to get a property manager. The property manager going to collect the rent. They're going to take care of the maintenance issues. They're going to show the apartments. They're going to be there to open the doors for people. They're going to get the housekeeper. They do all of that. You ain't got to do nothing. But then, because what now? What happened?
So I paid for the units. Donnie still laughing, man. It's not funny. It's a sad moment. And a learning lesson. And a damn learning lesson. Oh, my bad. But okay, I paid for them. Now I got them. I didn't go down and refurnish them. First thing, because I'm so busy in my stuff that I'm building with my, you know, marketing stuff and fun and stuff. So then the property management, we break even the first month. So that means the rent came out to an amount. And then the money made from Airbnb, covered that amount. Then that's it. Mm-hmm. So then the next month we came under, meaning the rent was X amount of dollars and we made lower than what the rent was. So now I'm losing money in 30 days. And then now I came out of pocket to pay the rest of the rent. And it got deeper. I made less money off Airbnb. I got to pay out my pocket again. Now, so I put six figures up in 30 days. I didn't make no money. Then I started paying out of pocket for rents. This started going bad fast. I got nervous. I'm like, oh, snap. What I did was I did that for about 4 or 5 months. I kept coming out of pocket $5,000-$10,000 after I invested these things, thinking I was going to recoup, start recouping my money back. Nope. Didn't happen. I started taking L's. And then what I did was I told him, the owner, and that property manager, I'm out. I don't care what you're going to do. You're going to do it. Nobody going to do it with these units. I'm going to take my L on the chin because I should have did better research. I should have did better, you know, dissecting of things. I should have been all in on that thing. I'm going to take my L on the chin. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to move forward, but I'm not paying another rent. I don't care about what's in these Airbnbs. Y'all can have them. Y'all can give them to whatever y'all want. I left everything. And I'm so glad one thing that saved me, I didn't put them in my name. I like sub leased on and like under like a way to where it wasn't like really attached to me,
so it didn't destroy your credit.
It didn't destroy me. I luckily, you know, I probably would have did it too if it would have been that way, but luckily the structure of how we obtained them was not in my name. I kind of don't care what happened to who, because they shouldn't have put me in that predicament anyway.
They shouldn't have put you in the predicament. Had you ever owned an Airbnb before?
No.
So you just thought, oh, it's a unit, I'm Smitty the goat. I'm going to go in here and put my marketing sauce on it. Let me pull up in a Lambo and everybody going to want to rent it for sure. No matter what's already established in Miami, they're going to want mine. Yeah. So they put you in a predicament, but you didn't really know how to run an Airbnb.
Not fully. So I educated myself like a little bit. I ain't do my lock-in season like I was supposed to with this one, but I've been learning about Airbnb and learning and hearing about it. So not, but I didn't master it. Nope.
There you go. Sounding like one of them people who be like,
he shouldn't have never signed me up for his program because it didn't work. Why would you put me in that situation to take my little money and it didn't work? No, no, no. Y'all know that's not right. You know that's not you. That's right. Not what happened, Smitty.
It's not. I took a loss for it too.
We start getting cocky though. Like once you start having some success in one area, it's like everything I touch turns to gold.
Yeah, sometimes I was thinking that because I had so much success happening before that. I kept winning. And the things I'm doing, executing, is working. Mm-hmm. Then it went to losing. And then the next thing I was doing on the side too was car rentals. So I brought one of my cars to Atlanta. I had bought like 4 or 5 economy cars in Illinois and Chicago area. And then I started to run that. I lost in that too. My car got crashed 3 times. Every time I tried to get it up and running back to make some money off of it, it got crashed 3 or 4 times. It was down for like 8 months. Didn't make no money. Still had to pay the note every month for like 8 months straight. Didn't make no money off that.
I need you to stick to funding.
Yes.
I need you to stick to funding. I don't need your hands on any products. All right. Because it seems like products in your hand it's not the play.
Yeah, it's not.
So you're going through, I don't really hear people talk about like Turo anymore. Or what is it, hire car?
Yeah.
I don't really hear people talking about renting their Lambos out.
The people at a higher level that, you know, established their foundation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's about it though. But I mean,
would you do it again?
I'm not against it, but I would definitely have a way different system. I would go slower and I would partner with somebody who have been doing it for 10 years and 15 years versus me trying to be the boss and own the business so much and trying to run everything myself, being King Kong.
Yeah.
A partner with somebody that been doing it for 15, 20 years, learn under them for a long period of time until I feel like I can be able to branch off and do my own thing. I would just go about it a different way if I were to do it.
King Kong did in fact have something on you. Did in fact. Yeah. So in all these, like you were taking 5 and 6 figure losses back to back to back to back. First, in hindsight now, what's the lesson? Like, what can we learn from that?
So my lesson was not try to put my time and energy and focus into multiple different things because that's kind of like impossible. So if we got 4 cups here and we're trying to fill them up. So our ideal thing is to get wealth and get, I'm pretty sure most people want to make $1 million, right? If we got 4 cups here trying to fill them up, it's going to be hard for you to try to fill this one up, try to fill this one up, trying to fill this one up. Why don't we just try to fill 1 cup up? Why don't we go all in on one thing? Why don't we put 100% of energy, 100% of our time, 100% of our money, 100% of our learning into one thing, and we scale that one thing up until it reaches that 7-figure mark? And I believe that a lot of people would be able to have more success if we were to put are all in on one thing and master that one thing and grow that one thing up to where we're trying to go versus trying to put our time into multiple cups.
We're making jokes about you taking this loss because, listen, I know a thing or two about taking a multiple 6-figure loss in one day, okay? In one day. And I remember when that happened to me, I called my mom and my daughter and I said, look, I put some money out there and it's not coming back. All right. Everybody's on a strict budget. We got to be mindful of the DoorDashes. Yeah. We're sharing the Netflix account. Yeah. Right. Until they catch us and cut us off. Like, everybody be real mindful about these decisions. Right. So my mom, she's panicking. She's like, oh my God, do you need to sell the condo? Do you need to do these things? I'm like, no, it's cool. Like, we're not there.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting you know. I had never taken a multiple 6-figure loss in a day before, right? Mm-hmm. Literally woke up to this loss. And so I'm not really sure how to process it, but what it didn't do was like really get me down and depressed. Just start going hard again.
Yeah.
So I remember a few days later calling my mom and I'm like, hey, you want to go grab some lunch? And my mom is like, lunch? You want to go out to eat? You just took a multiple 6-figure loss. Are you sure you want to like spend this money? And so I'm laughing. I'm just laughing. And my mom is like, why aren't you in a panic? Like, why aren't you over here going crazy and in a panic about this? Like, Nitra, my name is Denitra, and she calls me Nitra. She's like, Nitra. You didn't know that?
Nah,
my name is Denitra.
Okay.
She's like, how can you even be laughing? And for me, I had to make jokes about it. That's how you get through it. Yeah. I had to immediately share the story because that type of loss, you can't hold in. That can drive you crazy, right? Hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside. And so I know we're sitting here and we're joking about these losses that you took, probably hurt like hell in the moment. But what I will say about you, Smitty, is I'm proud of you for having failed multiple times. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you failed so big so fast.
Yeah.
Because you, number one, in order to fail, you had to take a risk. And in order to take risks, you got to be very courageous and gutsy, you know, to do something like that. So people would look at this and it's probably a clip that's going to go viral. She's proud of him for failing. Like, why would she say that? Well, because most people don't choose to fail. And you really set yourself up. You chose it. You stepped into these markets where you didn't really have any understanding. You were willing to take a risk. And it's like, look, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to stop it when it gets too far. But whatever happens just kind of happens. And at your age, and the things that you've been able to accomplish in this period of time is outstanding. It's really outstanding. And I look forward to the next thing that you try that doesn't necessarily go your way, because what we do know is when we have these situations, we always come back with a lesson that we can apply somewhere else and win big.
Yeah. But I think that helped me to get to the point I am now. It's because I started focusing so hard on one thing. It's like it had no choice but to start growing. You know what I mean? All that focus, all that time, and all that energy that I had to try to put into multiple things, it's all in one thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, ooh-wee. You know what I mean? Now I'm really mastering things. Now I'm really fixing holes in the business. Now I'm really learning new skill sets to grow exactly what I got. And then I started building, you know, on top of that. And it really changed the trajectory of my business. Mm-hmm. And it started skyrocketing after I did that, too. So. Mm-hmm. I went back to what I know that works. I went away from what works. I don't know why. I had a situation where I made $100,000 in a day and I went away from it. I did it one time and I had this hoorah and I was so excited and so happy. And I went away from it. And like, I don't know why I did. I should have just kept doing the same thing that was already working.
Yeah.
And then but now I know to do the same thing that's already working and just make that better and scale that up than trying to make multiple streams of income within that one industry.
That's it right there. People be like, multiple streams of income. No, we're not saying ATMs, Airbnbs, Turos, funding. So you've got your funding business, and an example of multiple streams would be you have a community where you teach, coach, and mentor people. You have maybe a course where somebody who wants to start a funding business in their own time could start a funding business in their own time. You have a done-for-you service where you go and, you know, do these application processes with people. You have a done-with-you service where maybe people come to you and say, hey, I don't want you to do it for me. I really want to understand. Can you just put your eyes on this application or your eyes on this profile and tell me what my chances are? Like, that's four different streams of revenue. Maybe you do a VIP day where somebody wants to sit down with you and they go through this process with you in real time in a couple of hours, knock it out. That's five different streams of revenue, five different streams of income from one business model. And that's what that really should mean in the beginning. Yes, you do get to a point where you can diversify into other industries for sure. But you want to get to that place where either when you either have some knowledge, skill set, experience in those spaces, or you have a team of people who you can put in charge that are actually experts that can help you run those things. Multiple streams of income is not you just saying, hey, I have a little bit of money. Let me put a little bit over here. Let me put a little bit over there. Let me put some over there. And I know nothing about any of this. That's not what that means.
So that them losses turned into that me understanding that very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed the trajectory of my business to grow to what it is now. Multiple seven figures now. So now it's like, all right, I get it. You know what I mean? I just need to focus on one thing.
What does a young black man in Atlanta do, 30 years old, with multiple millions of dollars?
Oh, man.
say the right thing, Smitty, because you say the right thing, because my girl, you know what I mean? I need you.
So to be honest, you stay focused. As much as I want to go have fun and go.
Bree, just real quick. Bree, I'm
you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. You start to become free and you start to do what you want to do. You know, whatever is desire that I want to do, I can do, which is the good part. But truthfully, what I seriously do on a daily basis, even though I make my, I just sit in the house and learn and work. And I got a newborn now, so now that I got to help out with the baby, with Bree and stuff.
Do
like
you
that.
Really?
So, what?
Have to help out with the baby. Like, right now, you and Bree just had a baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your beautiful baby girl. Thank you. Is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Being the person who's doing most of the heavy lifting in terms of generating revenue right now because Bree just had a baby, talk about that. Like, you're a young parent. You're making the money. You've taken all these losses that you're recovering from. How active do you actually get to be as a parent right now?
Yeah, so I've created that freedom for myself to have the opportunity to help out. You know what I mean? So I help out as much as I can that's needed. And if I have to do more, I do more. But she handles everything for the most part. But just when she's tired or when she's like, I'm feeling that she's exhausted. You know, she might not say it. But I'm catching it, you know, and I just like come get the baby for the night. It's like, all right, I take the baby and I go in a separate room and I just let her sleep. You know what I mean? And it's not like she be like making me or ask me. It's just something I do because I know she need help. It's her first child as well. So I just want to be helping hand and make sure she good, you know, and make sure she ain't, you know, just overstimulated with all the new mom stuff.
You did the sweetest thing. I think it was this morning, or at least she posted it this morning. Smitty sent his girlfriend roses with a note that just said, "You're doing a great job."
Yeah.
That literally was one of the sweetest things you could do for a woman who, Bree is a boss, right? She's her own successful entrepreneur. She has a lot going on. And most times as moms, it doesn't matter whatever else we had going on in our lives. The moment a baby comes, we stop everything because we have to be a parent. It's our default designated obligation. It's our responsibility. While daddy gets to go off and still do his thing and check in and help where he can, right? Yeah. And we worry about things. We worry about, are we doing a good enough job? Are we spending enough time? Am I holding her right? Am I developing her right? Am I feeding her right? Is she getting enough? We're worried about so much. Am I still being a good significant other? For you to just say, hey, this is for no other reason, just appreciation. And I want to let you know that you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Somebody raised you right.
Nah, yeah. Nah, I get it. I understand that. It's not easy having a baby. Mm-hmm. And then especially coming from the life of, you know, having businesses and already having some success and have the freedom to do what you want when you can to now.
Mm-hmm.
Whole 360. You in the house now. You taking care of a whole human being.
Yeah.
You up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. You are, you know, taking distance away from your businesses and things that you were always able to do when you didn't have a pet child. So, and then, you know, just all those things, I just already know, you know what I mean? So, just try to do gestures to be able to make it, you know, ease on her and make her happy sometimes.
Does being a father now change anything about how you work or why you work?
Yeah, it gives me another layer of grit, you know what I mean? To be like, all right, I kind of made enough money for myself. I got and do whatever I want to do in life. Dream house, dream car, jewelry, whatever I desire to do, I got it. But now I got to build for them. So I have that desire, I believe, in my dedication and my work ethic every day that I got to build for them to make sure they're good so that they don't have to have the option to have to go work for a machine company every day for 8 hours, 12, 10 hours on their feet. If they don't want to, they can have the money to go to school if they want to. They can have the money to start a business. They can have the desire to do whatever they want. So just me working hard, I feel good working hard building for that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know the impact it's going to have on them to be able to leverage me, whatever I built, to be able to help them be able to go on in life and make things easier for them. So I'm proud to be able to just keep working hard for that and just, you know, going hard at just having that foundation built for the next generations to come.
Do you feel like you're a role model?
Yeah, I do feel like I'm a role model.
You do?
Yeah.
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 Tell me about that.
So
you take that responsibility, because that's a tough responsibility.
Yeah, I take it on.
Okay.
Because I just know where I came from in my family. They just know one thing, man. It was just, we finna work this job for a long period of time and we gonna retire.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that I got exposed to what I got exposed to, because if I didn't, man, I don't know where I would be. I just don't know. You know what I mean? And one of the situations before I came to Atlanta and I got into this business world was a friend of mine got killed, and one of my roommates. So me and my roommate lived together in Chicago, and he had got killed due to gun violence right in front of me. So in that moment, I knew I had to be able to do something, and I didn't know what it was, but I'm so glad that I was able to learn this stuff and get exposed to it so I could be a role model for the people in my family to see what's possible, what they could do, get educated, because they can just ask me now, you know what I mean, and just position other people around me and in my life to be able to, you know, do better for them and themselves. So like my cousins and my uncles and my, you know, just my sisters and stuff, they just feed off of it so good to be able to just understand that this stuff is real. This stuff is possible. I can do it now. If my brother did it, I can do it. And I feel good that I've got that exposure, put that work in to be able to build something to make other people around me be a role model for them to be able to believe that they can do it and help their families and just, you know, be able to use that to my advantage.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm grateful that you answered your calling to really show up in this way, to follow your voice and use your voice for something good, for something positive. You're from Chicago. It could have gone, statistically, from what we hear in the media and see in the media, it could have gone a completely different way for you. Yeah. And a lot of young men who come from that city either end up doing something that leads them into trouble or going down the pathway of working until they're exhausted, right? And they have to retire, but you're retiring very uncomfortably. Oof. A lot of people think that retirement opens up this portal for you to live so comfortably because you don't have to go to a job, and really you're just, you know, unemployed and struggling off of the little that they give you, the 40% or so of what they're giving you. And so I believe what you're doing is major, right? You're about to have a birthday. You're turning 31?
Yep. I'm turning 31, yeah.
You're turning 31.
Yeah, man.
You're about to have a birthday. You old now. Once you're 30 plus,
come on, Danny,
you become that old, you know what, in the club. You the old head in the club. All you need now is a blazer and a tie. Show up in the club and you one of them.
Yeah, don't tell me about it, man.
Your knees feel good?
Yeah, no, not that much. I'll be going to play basketball. I'll be having to stretch for 30 minutes.
Look, you be in there flexing, yeah. Your little Achilles needs some work, right?
Yeah, they be in there playing. I'll be like, give me 30 minutes to stretch.
You got to warm up. Yeah. We got to warm these muscles up because they ain't doing what they used to do. Nah. It's something about turning 30. It's like 29, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
30 years old, things start changing.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my mind to grasp, like, all right, brother, you're here.
You are here.
I don't want to, but and then and all, I'm glad I'm wiser though. Mm-hmm. In the position I am now, I'm in the best position I've ever been in my life. You mm-hmm. know, so I'm grateful that I'm here and I made it here.
Yeah,
but I think about it sometimes. I don't want to get older, man. But it is what
but
it is.
But you do, because if we're not getting older, we're dying.
Wait, no, you're getting older, it's dying.
If you're not getting older, you're dead.
Oh,
so when people like I've always, you know, I'm really really big on what I say. Right. My words creating my reality.
Yeah.
And I never really understood, especially women who hit their age. Like I'm 45 and I'm so proud to be 45. Like, first of all, don't play with me. OK, ever. Don't. No. OK. OK. Let me be serious. No, but seriously, I have always honored my age because the only alternative to not growing older is dying younger.
Mm.
And so I look forward to birthdays.
Okay.
I am okay. I work out. I do things. I'm very intentional because as we age, things change. Look, I was out last night in the street, Smitty.
What? So out in the street?
I dislocated my knee.
Oh,
I have on
God.
This like knee. I have on this KT knee tape under these jeans. Otherwise, it would be a problem, right? So I dislocated my kneecap a couple of days ago. And I had to put it back in myself, which was an excruciating amount of pain. Went, got it checked out. I don't need surgery, but I am going to have to go through some physical therapy. If this had happened 20 years ago, I probably would have just bounced back. But then I needed a little physical therapy. So anyway, I'm walking down some stairs. I got on some heels. I got my knee. I'm going out with friends. I'm trying to be cute. I got on this dress. I got my knee taped up under this dress, so nobody can see it, right? That's the only way I'm gonna make it in these heels tonight because I got an injury. And then there's this flight of steps. And I'm looking at these stairs like, how in the hell am I about to get down these steps? Believe it or not, going downstairs is harder than going upstairs when your knees aren't good, okay? So I'm literally now, for the first time ever, having to walk sideways to go down the stairs.
And holding on to the rail, right?
Holding on to the rail, right. going down the stairs. And that's the first time I think I felt aged. Because even though it wasn't due to age that I'm having this problem, it's a gym injury that caused my kneecap to pop out. It's a gym injury. The age impacts the recovery process. So I literally had the same injury 12 years ago in my 30s, right? The same injury about 12 years ago in my 30s. I snapped back, piece of cake. Your girl needs some physical therapy this time around.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, man. You're getting older. You've grown wiser. You have become an expert in your specific business and you're teaching other people how to do it. You have you're a marketer. I know you got to be doing something for your birthday.
Yeah.
Because you're a marketer.
I am a marketer.
All right. So here's another note. I hope y'all been taking. He's been dropping breadcrumbs along the way, you guys. He's got a birthday coming up. You're a marketer.
Yeah.
So tell me what Smitty the Goat would do for his birthday.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do for my birthday.
Write it down and do it too.
Well, I'm going to host a 5-day virtual mastermind. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take people under my wing for 5 days and be able to teach them everything I do that make me millions of dollars over 5 days. So each day is going to be a different framework of each portion of what I do to be able to make it full circle for you. Because like, I know everybody get on webinars sometimes and stuff like that. And it's like 30, 40 minutes, but I don't feel like that's long enough. So I believe over a 5-day span, you can be able to now fully be able to digest exactly what there is to do, how we do it, how we set it up, the back end of it, all the processes it takes to be able to get the result that I'm getting, or at least, you know, get some type of result similar to what I'm getting. And because not promising that you're going to get millions of dollars like me, but if you use the framework that I use to get millions of dollars, you should have some type of success.
Should get something.
You know what I mean?
What if you got 10%? That's 10%, how I look at it.
For sure. Like,
if he's saying he made $1 million and he's coming to teach you this, I think sometimes, and this is important because I think what you're doing is great. You're doing the five-day masterclass, but somebody is saying, oh, I'm not going to make $1 million. And truth be told, you probably won't, right? Mm. But what if there's a small percentage of people who will?
Yeah.
I was one of those students in somebody's mastermind who did.
Me too.
I did.
You know what's crazy, Donnie? And this is why we got to talk about coaches and students in these time frames. It's people that took the same program that I took and said they didn't get no value out of it.
How?
And I ran up
the bag. You hear me? I took the information and ran it up.
Yeah.
So for clarity, when he's saying like you might not get the same result, one of the things that my mentor used to say to me that kept me going, Smitty was, you know, he was multimillionaire. Like, you do what I do, you follow these steps, you're going to have some success. And what success means is relative. Yeah. So I can teach you what I did to make $1 million. Most people will not make $1 million. And that's why y'all love me so much, because I'm going to be honest and tell you, most of y'all
I like being honest too.
You're not going to make $1 million. I'm going to be honest. But what if you could make 50%? What if you did exactly what I did and had 50% of the success? Could $500,000 change some things in your life, right? Ask yourself, yes, yes, yes. What if you don't do that? What if you only did 25%, got 25% of the effort that Smitty got?
Yeah.
Could $250,000 change something? But even if it doesn't, could going through 5 days and you right now on your job making $5,000 a month, right? Could going through something where you're showing the process and you only come out of it learning how to make $10,000 one time, $10,000 a month, could that change some situations for some people?
100%.
Yes.
Yeah. So one of my students is working a job right now and running his funding company on the side. And he made $500,000 by doing that on the side while working a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to be able to learn another high level skill set to be able to generate you some money, especially if you're either you're working or not working. You know what I mean?
And you're showing people.
Yeah. So over the 5-day time frame, we're going to teach you how to start, scale, and grow your own funding business. So now people are seeing me run this business and it's being so successful and seeing so much of results. They're like, all right, you taught us how to clean our credit submit. You taught us how to build it. You taught us how to get our first $25,000 credit card. All right, how do we turn this into leveraging to make money now? And now I'm like, all right, y'all want to learn how I run my funding business to generate, you know, 6 figures a month. I'll teach y'all that model. So now I want to teach people how to start, scale, and grow their own funding business. You know, how to market it, how to be able to get relationships inside these banks that I have. How to be able to, you know, do the CRMs and the marketing and automation part of it. What vehicle to use to convert clients into closing them into getting a deal. So you can get anywhere between $5,000 to $25,000 per client, you know, with this business model, meaning people make that in a month. You can make that with one client. So we're going to take them over that 5 days to be able to teach them all those things. And I'm going to bring in some guests. So we're going to bring in some guests teaching about commercial real estate, how to get storage facilities. My guy, Ramel. And then we're going to teach people about grants you don't got to pay back. So those things I'm going to add on as bonuses just for joining my 5-day virtual mastermind so people can be able to get access to, so they can be able to learn some extra skill sets as well.
And I don't really want to date the episode. I want to be able to include the link. So if people, you know, want to join in and take a look, you guys know that I don't advocate for anybody's business. I want you to go check Smitty out. If this is your first time being introduced to him, you go do your own due diligence. That's up to you. But I will put the link in there in case you want to check it out and see, you know, if this is a good fit for you. If you're interested in learning financial education, if you're interested in learning how to get funding, if you're interested in learning how to become a funding expert, right now, Smitty is the go-to for that. But go and do your due diligence. What does due diligence mean?
Go do it. Go do all of it. Go to Google, go to YouTube, go to TikTok, Instagram, whatever due diligence you got to do, go do it.
Go do it. We invite 100%. You to do it. Yeah. But what I was about to say something to you and it just kind of slipped my, you went through all these major multiple six-figure losses, what you ended up doing. And then you said you went right back to what you know. So you literally lost the check and got it right back.
Yeah, definitely.
Through what it is that you do. And it sounds like, I don't know, I'm not the expert. I don't know anything about running a funding agency. But would this be, like in terms of starting a business like this for people, is this low risk, high reward? Or do you have to spend a lot and invest a lot of money to start establishing these relationships to have the leverage that you do?
Yeah, so the cool part about funding business is there is really no overhead. You got to have a system, probably $99 a month. But then, you know, it's just about getting information now and running it the way that I run it, so where you don't have to have no overhead. But when it's time to scale it, of course, you're going to need money for marketing to get more leads. But to actually run a business, you can start organically to get clients, because we just need to get a clientele of people who meet the requirements. And then when I give you the relationships of the people inside the bank and then the right processes it takes and educate you the right way and all those things, you don't have this business model doesn't take no overhead to really run unless you're ready to scale and spend money in advertisement to grow it. That's where your overhead is going to come in at for marketing. And then when you grow, probably putting people in place to delegate certain things in the business. But when you're starting off, you get in the trenches, you doing it. So you shouldn't be paying people yet anyway. So that's why I love the business model so well as well, because the profit margins is way better than 90% of the businesses out here.
So Smitty, one of my programs, it's my flagship program, the one that made me, seven figures. I teach people and develop them into coaches and consultants, right? However, I'm a business coach and consultant. I could be developing a personal development coach and consultant, someone who works with moms, somebody who works with people who need confidence. You are teaching people to do exactly what you do. You're essentially training your competition. Why would you do this?
Now, to be honest, I don't mind it, because I know it's so many people out here that need help. So this is what I've learned. I thought that at first, too. And I'm like, man, damn, I'm going to be creating these people that's building these businesses and same business model as me. And I realize it's so many people out here that I'm not reaching, that other people can reach, that can benefit them, that I wouldn't even have gotten to them even
anyway.
So it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt me at all. And to get past me, you're going to have to be I don't know how hard you gonna have to work.
But you better,
you know what I mean? And I don't mind people that do and have that urges to do that. You know, I want that to put in you. But what I found is that it's just so many people out here that need help with this concept of credit and funding. It's literally like, I don't know if it's the number one thing, but it's up there. What people need help with the most, that's uneducated about, that don't know about, don't know how to work it, don't know how to use it. So it's like hundreds of millions of people that need help. I can't handle all these people myself. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen ever in my lifetime to be able to help that many people. So I don't mind teaching people my business model to go run the same business model
that
I run.
That's really, really great perspective. Yeah. Smitty says, y'all have access to people that will never even know I exist. So go help them.
Yeah.
Go help them.
100%.
Thank you. I love this. You dropped some gems. If y'all didn't learn a thing or two about, number one, funding, he gave you some banks to go to, whether you use his service or not, go get your money. If you want to get clear on how to access more money than you can probably get on your own, check Smitty out. He also gave some really great strategy on marketing. And I hope if you didn't write this stuff down, go back. You need to watch this episode again and get some marketing tips. We learn a lot of the keys that we're looking for through the journey of the people who have already experienced these things, and you gave it to us.
100%.
You for sure gave it to us.
And just to leave people with just like what I think is, when it comes to just learning just new things, stuff like that, especially what I teach, is just leverage. You know what I mean? Learning how to leverage, because if you don't, especially when it comes to debt, like understanding good debt and bad debt, but what I teach and just the whole thing of my infrastructure of my business when it comes to credit and funding, you got to be spending this money to go make you more money. That's the first thing. And you got to learn how to leverage debt, because if you don't, then you always going to be working for somebody that do. Like, you really going to be working for somebody that do if you don't learn. So I would say for everybody to be able to really, really dial in on learning, like, how could I learn how to leverage these things that they're talking about, especially get that skill set so that I could be able to leverage it in my life and use it.
Spend the check and get it right back. I mean, that's literally the theme of what's playing in my head. Like, even when you took those losses, it's like, yep, I spent this money, right? Lost this money, spent this money, whatever. But because of those losses, I had to double back and go super hard in what I do well and get this money back, probably plus some.
Yeah. So I'm glad I did. You know, it worked out.
If you learned something from Smitty today, I want you, as usual, to go into the comments and type out what stood out the most for you from this episode. I want to know what stood out. I have a couple of key takeaways from this episode, but I want to know what stood out. Don't forget to check Smitty out. His details will be in the caption of wherever you are seeing this video. Smitty, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate
it. It's always a pleasure, and I can't wait to see where you are going into your 32nd birthday. Like, just keep growing. Keep growing. Keep your head on right. Raise the heck out of that baby. Keep the integrity that you have, and it's up.
I want to tell y'all my five-year go-to. I want to tell you this, too. Okay. I want y'all, maybe your community or you to be a part of it.
Okay.
All right, so in 5 years, this is my goal. And I want to be saying this live and come revert back to this. I want to, my community right now is at 3,000 people. I want to be able to build a community to 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to teach them the skill set to get access to their first $100,000. Mm. And when I teach them that skill set, I want people to come back in with that skill set they learned and maybe put up for a big project now. So, like, if I can get even half of what I'm talking about, maybe 5,000 people, to understand, if you put just $10,000 into this group economics of a project, I'm looking to try to raise $100 million with my community and be able to go buy hotels or skyscrapers and be able to have our own assets and real estate projects and things like that. Because I know a lot of people out here that, like I said, not entrepreneurs or not mastering savvy when it comes to information, stuff like that. If I can build a foundation to be able to help them invest something off the skills that I taught them to be able to invest, I think we could be able to make some big things happen as well.
That's 3 year goal?
Like five.
That's 5 years.
It's
year
like
goal.
Five.
Year goal. Y'all heard it.
Yeah.
Y'all heard it. So let's hold Smitty accountable. Follow the journey. Let's see what he does. And when he does it, I believe you can do it.
Yeah, I believe I can do it too.
I believe,
like,
you will do it.
I got some work to do though.
So we got to stop this so you can get the work. Right. Y'all, it's been real. Don't forget, comment your favorite takeaway, what stood out for you the most, what you're going to apply right away to your life, to your business, to whatever you got going on. Maybe even the shift in perspective that you have around taking a loss or what multiple streams of income means to you. Until next week, y'all be good. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.